This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi everyone.
Hi.
Welcome back to TVI, episode 126. Live in the studio.
Penultimate
one. We say that every time. Every episode.
I don't know what it means. Second to last.
Second to last, yeah.
Okay, I do know what
ultimately, it means. Everything in your life is penultimate, isn't it? You're going to die at some point.
Oh, yeah. A lot of deaths.
So cherish every moment, guys. Welcome to the podcast. Guest, Lloyd Griffith.
Hello.
We were talking to you. We've had the slightly passive-aggressive conversation we have with a lot of guests, which is why haven't I been on already?
You've had so many guests.
We have, but I
sometimes two or three times.
This is again goes back to the laziness of our booking policy. It's normally done the night before we record, and it's normally whoever we've gigged with in the 3 days before that. And if not, I say to Julian, "Who are we going to get?" And he just goes, "Shall we get?" And then just calls the same person, Sean or Paul McGaffrey.
Yeah.
So we have got but now we're getting professional. I spoke to you and asked you to do this 4 days ago.
Oh, no, it was longer than that, I think. It was like a week.
A week, see? Yeah. How good is that, man?
Episode 126.
That's the big one, mate.
It's the big one.
And I'm only on now.
First studio guest.
Your first studio guest.
Oh, okay, I'll take that as a kind of like little bit of a
It's a massive
bonus.
Compliment.
Well, it is.
It's a lovely studio.
It is, isn't it?
Thank you.
What you're doing with
the Here we are
took
at Vauxhall Podcast Studios. We've got Mooch is over on the desk today running things.
You're Sam Mooch.
There he is, look.
There we go.
If you're watching the video, then you can see him.
He's got a bit of the Pierre Novellis about him, hasn't he?
I would say that.
Yeah, especially on camera.
He's got great symmetry as well, isn't
he? Yeah, he has.
He has got a microphone, so if we do want to ask him a question.
And great hairy leg as well from the photo.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about that? Have you seen, basically, Mooch put a photo on Instagram.
Oh, that.
That while we were waiting for you to arrive and open
like
the studio.
A sexy gorilla.
Julian said, did you see it? And it was recreating the John Lennon, Yoko Ono famous photo. When are they both naked in the photo?
No, just John Lennon.
John Lennon is naked, and he's sort of draped over Yoko, almost like it's a sort of the reversal of the normal sort of guy, naked lady over him. But John Lennon is sort of wrapped around her naked. It's quite a sort of arresting photo. Mooch recreated
it. Quite hard to come, actually.
Give it a go.
I'll give it a good go. Yeah.
I mean, Julian will give it a go at anything, no matter how hard it is. But it was quite the. It caught me off guard when I was scrolling Instagram.
It's all my missus. She really wanted it. She's got that sort of weird, twisted sense of humor.
Right.
So
it's a nice.
And
piece
of art. Did you find you got your bum out on Instagram?
Yeah.
You felt comfortable with that, or did you?
Yeah. Do you know what? Like since. I've sort of got my missus pregnant and it's final.
I got my missus pregnant. What a romantic way of describing it.
I'm out the game.
I left it
so
in.
So I don't really care anymore. I'm just like, right, fair enough.
Get your ass out, mate.
Yeah, look,
got a baby coming. Get your ass out.
It's over, so.
There's no fucking hell, mate.
You're off the market, man.
No, I'm locked in. It's over. I'll get my ass out for anything.
That's Mooch's first cameo there. Really setting up how his life is. But Lloyd, so welcome.
No arse out for me.
What have we talked about pre-record? We said we were going to discuss. We were going to discuss t-shirts.
T-shirts. Yeah.
We were going to discuss the fact you're on tour.
You're selling t-shirts.
I'm not selling t-shirts.
What? Because we were basically. This is a good starting point because we were all discussing quality of t-shirts. Yeah. Julian likes to buy multiple cheap t-shirts.
Yeah.
That fit his
from a sweatshop.
Yeah.
An unknown sweatshop.
Straight. I'll go over to Malaysia.
Get them direct. You run a couple, innit?
Comes back with the suitcase, just open. It's like 300 t-shirts.
Like the boss of the factory.
Everyone on good behaviour. Mr. Dean is here.
Mr. Dean's coming.
Yeah. You just going around flexing your muscles, going, these look all right, yeah? These look all right. Get them tighter around the arms.
A bit tighter.
Where do you buy yours?
Actually, this is from Primark.
Primark. Why do you say Primark? You always say Primark.
It's Primark. It's not P-R-E-E, is it? It's P-R-I.
Primark,
yeah. I think it is. I mean, officially, I think it is pronounced Primark.
100%.
But how much are they?
£3.50.
£3.50. You're wearing a Carhartt, and I said I like Carhartt.
Yeah, thank you, yeah.
But Carhartt have got a similar thing to Dickies, which is they've got two brands, essentially.
Yeah.
Like Dickies have the sort of hipster posh Dickies, and they've got the workwear Dickies, yeah. But then often people do wear both.
I don't just wear Primark, by the way. I'm not like the Primark kid.
Where are your trousers from?
Primark.
Are they actually?
Oh,
yeah. But you look at, I mean,
they look all right, to be honest.
They're my favourite trousers.
Well, what I will say is you've got a good
body.
You're in good shape. Oh. So you make bad clothes look all right.
I would look horrific in Primark.
Same, I think I would, because I'm a little bit top heavy.
You are.
I mean, I'm not, but I am. I'm sort of.
You've got good pins, haven't you?
I've got good thin legs. I can wear skinny jeans.
Yeah.
But if I wear a tight t-shirt, I am a little bit wobbly. Yeah. I'm not sort of toned or anything like that. And I think Primark clothes, you've got to have a good shaped for the clothes to look good.
Thank you.
I have to be very specific as to where I go being a chubbier man, because a lot of things don't fit.
Yeah.
So Carhartt, I've got really nice t-shirts, and they're like 30 quid a t-shirt, is that what you're saying? And this is really thick, really good quality, and they last forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Really do last forever. And then I...
sound like we're in a Carhartt advert.
Should we get sponsorship from Carhartt?
Is it work in progress? Is that what they call it? Carhartt whip? Is that right?
Well, yeah, WIP,
And then I have to get my jeans. As a tip from Paul McCaffrey, your favourite guest on this podcast, that I get my jeans from Marks and Spencer.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That is unacceptable.
No,
surely.
They do some really nice
sausage
jeans.
Roll and a pair of jeans, please.
By Primark. A little bit of Blue Harbour.
And a 70th birthday card.
A honey mustard pasta and a pair of jeans, please. I'm just surprised. It's not a place where I'd get clothes, I guess.
Well, they've got a very... I don't get all my clothes from there. Like, I just want just my jeans. I get I've got two pairs of jeans that I wear, and they're from M&S.
What fit are they?
I mean, it doesn't matter. I fit in them. That's all.
Yeah.
I would
imagine
Marks and Spencer's got those kind of dad jeans.
Straight in it.
Straight.
Well, relaxed.
So what?
comfortable fit.
What
for mowing the lawn.
What I use is, I think they're not comfortable fit, but they're not boot cut.
No.
But what I do, I roll the bottoms up. So I don't need.
I
can't wear skinny jeans because obviously I'm like a fucking idiot. So I have to wear I have my jeans with a little roll up at the bottom, and they're good. They're really good for that. However, as our mate Joe pointed out, they've got the deepest pockets in the world. M&S
really?
Jeans. Oh my god! You basically
is that good or bad? Thing?
Bad. You go to get a coin out.
Now you're like, for all those dad things, tape measures, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's why I genuinely think that's what it is, because like dad's got
a rolled up newspaper just to fit all the way down.
Slide it all the way in.
Honestly, you know those 1 meter measure sticks you get at school? Literally just slide one of those in.
Yeah.
These pockets are shallow, actually.
But that's because I'm wearing a chino. Chino pockets are trouser pockets, so they're not I find actually. You get, you're ruined by wearing jeans for too long. I wore jeans for years without wearing a trouser.
Yeah.
And you're used to deep, straight down pockets.
With your nuts.
Nothing's going to fall out, is it?
No.
Wear a chino, man. You sit down
you're
in a
edge.
Barber chair, wherever you want to sit. And everything just falls out.
Yeah. So, I wore chinos on Saturday at a wedding. So I wore,
it's a casual.
Well, it was like cocktail dress. So I wore a lovely double breasted suit, which I got from M&S as well. I got a friend of mine, Grace, who's she's a really good, what's the word?
Lay.
And she also in her spare time is a
whore. Oh God!
Edit that out.
That's not getting edited. Julian's worst things always stay in. We'll edit stuff out if the guest is unhappy with what they say.
Okay.
But we like to let Julian hang himself regularly.
But no, she's a stylist, and she
did work
a year or two. Oh God, yeah, obviously like two and a half years ago. She was like, I'll just let you know, I've just fitted out some quite big models and TV personalities with these M&S suits.
Big as in famous?
Yeah, big, yeah. And also probably, you know. And so she's like, go to M&S because like they've got really good suits. So I went down and got like a couple of M&S suits.
And this isn't, again, this isn't, you admitted you're a larger sort of fit, but they say double-breasted suits are quite hard to wear for the, I don't wear a double-breasted because I'm worried I'll look too boxy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I look boxy regardless.
Right.
I mean, even wearing a bikini, I look, you know, boxy. But so I thought I looked all right. And then I just wore some chinos also from M&S. Jesus Christ. And then some slip-on shoes from Churchill's.
Ooh.
Socks, ankle socks.
Pringle.
Nice. Tubes. A couple of Pringle tubes.
You
Pringle tubes.
Out on the socks then.
I think they were Christmas presents from maybe like 5 years ago, Julian. But lovely grey Pringle sock.
I love her. You get to an eight. What age are you now?
37.
You're at the age where presents that would have been annoying were 20... now you love. My mate gave me some Ted Baker socks a couple of years ago. I'm not talking about Paul Smith socks.
Yeah.
And they're fucking lovely. Like, yeah. I genuinely was. But if you'd have given me that when I was 23, I'd have been like,
I love pulling out quality socks. Quality sock day.
Yeah. But my wife bought me a pack of three Barber handkerchiefs for last Christmas. I use them religiously now.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember 2 years ago, my family going, what do you want for Christmas? And I was like, can I get Pringle socks and golf balls? I was like, fuck, I've turned into my Uncle Cliff. I remember like, when I was really young, being like, oh, let's get Uncle Cliff's presents. It's like, oh, it's golf balls, like a golf mat and some Pringle socks. It's like, fucking how boring is that? Now at the age of 37, like, that is absolutely perfect. Yeah, yeah. That is all I want.
It is.
But actually, I've gone
from... Is
that
your mum's brother?
No, it was me mum's sister's... ex-husband.
By marriage.
You still buy him presents?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, we got him, if you want to know what we got him this year, Julian.
Please.
We got him...
Some M&S shoes.
No, there wasn't. It was food related this year, actually, Julian. Lovely little hamper M&S box that my mum put together with like a load of cheeses and... what, the hamper? She put it together herself. So she got the basket herself. She got the bit, and actually... cheeses, various different Lincolnshire cheeses. You've got your different chilies, chili jams and stuff like that, some pasta.
She really cares
about
it.
She really went for it, yeah. So she really, really went for it.
Is your mum generally good at presents?
Mum's
then?
Fucking brilliant at presents. So my sister's about to give birth, which I think I'm allowed to say. But basically, me and my sister have been spoiled. 37 years old.
Is she pregnant then, yeah?
Yeah, No, she just wears a lot of double-breasted suits. Very boxy at the moment, she is.
Very.
My mum spends like £400 or £500 on me and my sister each.
Really?
At Christmas, yeah. She's just desperate for
a grandkid. Your mum is a lovely person.
She sounds it.
I stayed there, didn't I? Do you
Did
remember?
You?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's been. You know, but the thing is, though, you're saying that.
She got me so many gifts.
Like, because you're going, my mum's, and I'm going, because my mum's got a fucking guest house.
I know.
Oh, right.
Did you actually stay there?
Yeah, you came the next morning.
What?
Don't you remember? I turned.
What is happening here?
I came the night before. No, not really. But I. don't you remember? I was gigging in Grimsby and you got me a room there.
And I
was so late, though.
Oh, were you?
Don't you remember?
She
opened the door at like one, but she's so nice.
Yeah.
And I was so apologetic. But she was like, no, it's fine. But I definitely kept her up quite late. No, because I was
legitimately, late. Yeah. she's really good at it.
Give her a lazy bang, not really.
Oh, my God.
Come
sorry.
On.
We'll fucking cut that then. We'll cut that.
That's not fine. And the thing is, my mum listens to everything I do. So
and I hung out with her all day, didn't I, and your sister?
Did you?
Yeah.
Are you being serious now?
Yeah.
When was this?
You got a little kitchen, little door there, and goes into the garden.
That's how houses work.
Your mum's got two eyes and a nose, mouth, yeah, tits, yeah, yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah, maybe. I don't know if you're being serious or not, but yeah.
I do think it is hard to tell, but I do believe this.
I think it was Damon Lark in Grimsby.
Yeah, that does make sense, yeah. And he ran a gig.
I was there the following night, so I hung out all day at the...
He did the Grimsby Auditorium gig,
yeah.
But it was in the foyer.
Ooh, that's always... we did a foyer gig recently in Bristol, remember that?
That was nice,
We did the old Colston Hall, which
oh, yeah.
is now called
Not Causton Hall.
It's called something else. Funny name.
Yeah, but, the statue got torn down.
Yeah.
It was and, being racist.
And we did a sort of just so they've got a new gig there that they run on
right.
monthly. And we did it. And it's in the foyer. It's essentially in the foyer, but it's actually a nice gig in a lovely sort of. Because obviously the hall is massive, isn't it?
Yeah, I've done. I think I did a hall. I think I did Work in progress there for someone, like supporting them.
Yeah,
I think I did. Rob Beckett did the smaller one, so I've just not done the foyer.
Yeah,
so maybe
yeah.
I'll go back and try
get,
and
back, get back in the foyer, just mate.
Good,
that used to be a real thing, the foyer gigs. Yeah. I remember, like, sort of. I feel like about 6-7 years ago, I used to do at least a foyer a month.
When I first started out,
and uninvited,
you'd go like Mirth Control gigs were a thing of beauty.
Yeah,
when you're like
doing
5 minute spots, then you get Mirth Control gigs, which are like 10 minutes in the middle of fucking nowhere. It's like, oh, it's at an art center in like Bicester or like Taunton.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh wow, and then you get there, it's like, oh, it's just in the foyer, and it doesn't matter.
You build up to this. Gig.
And to clarify for listeners, they'd sort of put cabaret seating out, there'd be a little stage, they'd build it, because basically the room was way too big to put a gig in, they'd do it in the next thing they had. They didn't have a studio.
Most of the time, fine,
lovely gigs. But it was just weird, and you did feel a bit like, I want to move out.
Well, you are gigging next to automatic doors.
At the end of the day,
like, you can't get too animated because then the doors start opening. And then like honestly, you'll have like machines in the foyer that then the chiller will then just like start up, and you're going, I'm being heckled by a coffee machine or whatever. So but yeah, those are days. But if any comedians are listening and got gigs in the Grimsby, Cleethorpes, Lincoln, Hull area, let me know and my mum will sort you out.
Do it. Was it a good quality guest house?
It was lovely, yeah. Very
welcome. Biscuits in the room?
No
biscuits.
I'll answer that.
What's her policy?
I don't want biscuits in my room though.
No.
Some might.
He just wants £3 t-shirts.
Just want a couple of not really. a couple of lines of fentanyl.
That's what we discussed before, weren't we?
That wasn't on. Oh, so yeah, we hadn't
Lloyd
hit record
was
yet.
Get us
we were talking
fentanyl.
About there's been a spate of deaths in the US. From
I was
laced
I,
cocaine.
I wasn't
laced
aware
with
of
an opioid called fentanyl, and it's basically apparently if you haven't got a tolerance for it, so a lot of heroin addicts are doing this coke that's got fentanyl on it because they can.
I'd imagine their tolerance is quite
they're up for it.
Stamina.
But other people that haven't are just doing it thinking they're doing a line of coke and next thing they OD. Bad news, man.
Great,
risk puts, you know.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Or adults, maybe, as well.
Or adults, yeah. What is your listenership, do you reckon?
Adults.
Crackheads.
Adult crackheads. Well, this is great. You're doing a lovely little public service announcement.
Yes, we do. We get NHS funding, so we're good. So, Hannah, so talk us through your mum's policy. What is in the room? What does she provide as extras?
My mum's... Well, there's two
single
things.
Bedrooms, double bedrooms, a mixture.
The thing is that the guest house is currently on the market for sale. It's being sold. But it was just bed and... But when it first started, it was bed and breakfast.
Yep.
And then breakfast kind of went because A, there wasn't a desire for it, and B, my mum couldn't be asked. And then we've got these studios around the corner, which I'm actually taking over. Me and my mum are taking over in a hopefully in a few months. And I think it's just like stuff on the run. So we stay in hotels the whole time, don't we?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you
just touched your legs.
I know.
Sorry.
I just really just gently just accidentally stroked my knee.
How was that?
I had to flag it up.
Well, I froze.
You looked weird. I was like, we stay in hotels. Gosh. You just froze. I was like, what's going on? You went, I just touched your leg. That was like the weirdest 30 seconds of any podcast.
With some me tooing of Carl.
So yeah, she got like, I think it's just like, you want stuff on the go, don't you? Like
coffee
cups, like that you can take away. A lot of the people that are staying in these like accommodation are like workers that are working on the wind farms or like local
top
offices,
comedians.
Top comedians, and also, you know, you've stayed
oh,
there.
Yeah,
doing your open spot. And
driving, all the acts were still in the car all night.
Got there at 1 a.m.
The headliner.
So I think basically it's like, we're looking at putting a cereal bar in there. Here's a little breakfast bar to get you on your way. But in the studios,
that's
we've got
the selling point.
It's a little kitchenette area, so you can actually make your own stuff. So it's people that stay in there for more than one night, for like, you know, 1 to 7 nights. So, but yeah, I've been staying in a lot of hotels recently.
You're on tour.
I am on tour. And the biscuits get demolished within, I reckon, 20 to 30 seconds of me entering that hotel room.
Because obviously, again, some people might not stay in a lot of hotels. When you do, obviously, there tends to be a standard, like, 5 different biscuits you get.
Yeah.
It's normally a sort of a ginger snap type thing.
Ginger snap.
You'll get...
those little... Italian-y kind of
ones. The Biscoffi ones, the Lotus.
Yeah. They're pretty, they're vegan, so they're ones I can eat.
Oh, right.
Often custard creams and bourbon creams are vegan as well.
Oh, wow.
But what are the other classics? You normally get some sort of cookie.
Yeah, like a kind of a chocolate chip cookie that's kind of like quite nice. Well, I've been staying in Malmaison's recently.
Oh, they are. That's a lovely hotel.
Yeah. And I've got quite a good travel agent who has got quite a nice rack rate.
Really?
Come down, nice. Leave it out, what? Julian. so keep I've been getting them quite cheap. But they get, again, these are like almost like thin shortbread biscuits.
Right, yeah.
Lovely.
Okay.
Absolutely lovely. And they've been going within about 20 to 30 seconds of me.
I used to love
door.
A shortbread, man. They're not vegan.
No, very buttery.
Buttery. Mm. Base.
Do Malmaison still have the excellent toiletries you can nick?
No.
See, this is the thing. A lot of the hotels that used to have the best toiletries to nick have changed policies.
So,
do you nick them?
Of course.
Yeah. At one point, I nicked
the curtains, mate.
Here's a nice thing I did once. This was years ago. I'd collected so many. I'm talking, I had like a sort of hamper full of nice hotel toiletries. Sent them to, gave them to a charity to take out to Central America to give to, like, people, make little boxes up for households.
They all got arrested for stolen goods.
No, but they all went to people that needed them.
And there's Julian out there getting him to make t-shirts.
He took them out.
They don't need to wash.
He was out visiting one of his factories.
Give
he just took them out.
Give them a gift
after
they finish sewing, all right? They've fucking got work to do, Carl, all right?
You are disgusting. In a nice way.
Oh, cheers.
So they got rid of them. So now it's all pump action stuff.
Pump action, yeah. So Nibbities. One
pump. Not in a Malmaison.
One pump action by the sink, and then two in the bathroom.
Unbelievable.
But also, I quite like that though, because I think it's very kind to the environment.
Yes,
because there's so much plastic.
I know there is that.
And
not
again,
enough, mate.
Looking at the studios going forward that we're sorting out, I'm going to be doing the pump action because it's just so much plastic waste.
I know it is.
It's a lot of plastic waste, and so I think it's quite nice. When I mean, my girlfriend had our anniversary the other day, and we stayed at a really nice Soho House hotel, like Kettner's in town. So we just stayed in town.
Oh yeah.
It's quite nice to stay in London when you live in London. I mean, it's a waste of money. But happy anniversary, love.
Should Airbnb out your place that night.
Just walk to your holiday. 10 minutes on a Boris bike.
Mate, I got my moped in. I took my moped into town. I was like,
sticker on the back?
No, because I haven't got that license.
Well, met her there?
Yeah.
Oh. You're on a CBT
I met her on the corner.
License. Is that where you're still on?
Yeah. But I've passed my theory.
Yeah.
And because we used to have this chat quite a lot, didn't we? I've passed my theory, and so I'm ready to do my... I did my last CBT on an 800cc motorbike, which is a bit weird, but it
bloody
was
hell.
So, yeah, we met on the same corner that we met a year ago, which I thought was quite
in
nice.
Soho.
Pretty much to the hour. In Soho, yeah.
Met on a... Just met for the first ever time or on a first date?
On a first date,
Okay, I was going to say that would be...
We met on that same corner, and then went to the hotel, which is literally around the corner. And then when you go to thank you, mate. Yeah, and when you go to Soho House, they've got so many products that you can steal.
Oh, really?
They've got maybe 20 bottles of like shampoos and
straight in the bag, mate.
No, but those ones, they're like the big ones.
Put like your boot stuff.
You can use
in a
that.
Bag. Cool down. There's no toiletries in my room. Restock, mate.
But when I first went there, they're like, just let you know, like anything that's on the sink side, you can take. Literally,
right.
And there's like really nice Harry's shave razors, tampons, condoms, deodorants. Like they've got toothbrushes. You can take that. But then they say, look, the big bottles that are in the shower, don't steal them because you'll get charged. However, if you just want to empty that into like another container, you can do.
It's coming out of coffee cups full of shampoo.
This doesn't. Yeah, exactly. I was like, this doesn't seem cost effective.
Cardboard coffee cups in your shower at home.
Yeah, but it's quite nice though, isn't it? Because it feels like you're like pouring coffee down yourself, and it's just a lovely bit of fennel. That's the only thing I could think of.
Fennel.
Yeah, like a fennel body wash.
Nice smell.
I don't think I've used a fennel body wash.
I've got a new routine I've been doing on stage about shower gels.
I thought you meant I got a new routine in the shower. And I was genuinely in. I was like, tell me about it. Because I do have a routine. Do you?
I work from the top down.
I work top down, but I read a thing once about how you should change up your washing and drying routine quite regularly. It's a good thing for your muscle, your brain muscles, you know, because
keep yourself guessing.
I've not been doing brain it muscles. Much, hence my brain not working. But do you know, like they say, you should never have just things that you do almost unconsciously like that. You should always slightly think about
keeps
them.
Keeps you present.
It's about like, you know, basically it's to keep your brain healthy. And this thing was about, the article I read was about dementia and about how, you know, you should be doing things like, not crosswords as an example, but things that challenge your brain regularly. Okay. You shouldn't just sort of, people that get old and then the moment they sort of become very static and don't really do anything is when they actually deteriorate more. And it said, like, one of the things, a very simple thing to do is change up your washing and drying routine. So when you get out of the shower, if you have like a unconsciously just dry,
wash.
Change it up now and again, just to sort of, it gives your brain a little new synapse.
But the reason, so I go into
sound like Joe Rogan, just watch one documentary. And just, this is what you got to do, man.
And it makes sense, but it's not mad.
I've also got no scientific backup for it. I just read one thing.
It makes sense though, because as you get older, your brain kind of hardens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. When you're a baby, not scientists, but it's really soft, and that's why babies can learn languages.
Well, stuff. And it gets harder as you get older.
A baby can learn English in like 3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
That was that. Over to Mooch with the weather. But I mean, it'd be hard.
She was like, "There's got to be more to that, mate." Man.
No. But it's,
I know what you mean.
I mean,
yeah.
Kids are like sponges, aren't they?
And if they've got bilingual parents that are chatting both languages, they just pick up both languages, don't they? So, but when you get old, it's hard.
That's true, isn't it?
And that's why old people are so set in their ways as well. They can't learn anything.
Yeah, you can't learn any new information.
No. Well, that's what I'm finding. I've taken up golf in the last few years, and I'm finding it quite hard because obviously, I've got this preconception of how you hit. Like the golf balls and stuff like that. But going back to the shower routine, I always shampoo first because I'm like, well, I think that needs, I mean, I'm losing my hair
And you leave it in.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, that they say like you should have it in there for like 2 minutes. Yes. Then I wash my face.
Leave it in there.
Well, but like, do you use one of them caffeine shampoos?
No, I don't because I don't think they do work.
No.
I'm
currently using one just because comedian and club booker Pete Jonas.
Yeah.
He's like, he is a real expert in balding men.
Really?
He's obsessed with his hair.
What he's
it's great.
Into, is it?
So he's like, he's always giving me tips. Like since I grew my hair back, he's like going like, and I don't really. I thought I was bald for years, and I grew it back, and I wasn't, which is a weird thing, but it's true. And then so he goes, you've got to buy this shampoo, and he said it because he doesn't.
Because your hair stinks.
It looks gross, mate. You got all shit in
you
it.
You got flies on it.
This one is, it's got caffeine, but it's got another couple of ingredients. And it's a totally normal thing. It's not, you know, you're not putting anything in your body, but you have to massage it in and leave it for 2 minutes.
What's it called?
I can't remember. It's got an orange bottle.
Alpecin?
It's one up from Alpecin.
T-gel.
Like. It's like you got to get it online. You can't get it in sort of. You can't get it over the counter, guys.
You got to get it in the back street.
I'll give you my contact.
Is it Ventolin?
Get it in a car park behind the chemist.
You get it off Pete Jonas.
I've tried.
He had a boot full of it. It was only 60 quid.
I am losing my hair, so I've been trying to sort all sorts of manner of shit out to kind of like.
Where are you losing it from the front or the back?
Can we look at it?
Yeah, so it's like,
So it's a little, that's the same as mine. It's a bit like, thin up on the old
thin up,
crown.
Thin up on the thing there.
Looks pretty thick to me.
And this is something I wouldn't consider, but is transplants.
Yeah, I haven't.
Are you going to get it?
Of course, 100%.
Are you going to go Turkey and get it done?
No, I'm going, I think I'm going to go to...
The transplants.
What I'm trying to do is...
The ones where, they plug it. Because it's better now. They don't take it out of your arse, essentially.
It used to look like...
And I've got a lot in my arse as well, just to let you know.
Yeah.
I've got a lot in my arse that they can take out.
I don't think they take it from your arse.
No, they don't. They take it from the back. So, like, Tubes from Soccer IM, he had it done, and it looks... brilliant. It looks brilliant. It's a place in Essex called the British Hair Clinic, and I've been speaking to them about getting it. And it's the annoying thing is it takes 6 months for you to go bald to then like your first cycle, and then 9 months to 12 months for you to then be fully back to normal. So if I'm going to be, if I've got like a tour or an acting job, it's like,
because you have to have it, you have to shave it.
Well, yeah, they shave it, and then they take the follicles. They then see which are the like the stronger follicles, and they take out 25,000 like follicles from the back of your head.
One at a time.
How many have you got on your whole head?
I don't know that. Let's ask the scientist here.
75,000.
Okay, 75,000. Like a third of your hair out
so
the back.
There's so many things that I've tried. Like, I had this hairdresser who's bald just across the river in Chelsea, and he was like, oh, you want to use hair and mane? I was like, what's that? And it's like this.
I wouldn't get his advice.
Horse shampoo.
Oh,
shampoo they use on horses. Like mane and tail, sorry.
You never see a bald like, horse, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. Do you know what I mean? And they always look happy, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, there we go. The science is conclusive.
Big old hairy dicks.
I was using Alpecin, but that was just giving me like the fucking hairiest back in the world because it was like, washing down the back.
Yeah.
Got back like a fucking squirrel. But yeah, so I think at some point I'm going to...
What about the tablets? Regain? Have you thought about that?
It lowers your libido.
Yeah, but then there's certain tablets that like basically lower your sexual appetite. And
I need some of the tablets for that.
Yeah.
Bring it down
just
a bit.
Have a massive afro and can't get a boner.
Not being able to get a boner would be like...
Great.
Good.
Just take... Yeah. All distractions from your life would be gone. Just have a fucking... just slappy little knob that for the rest of your life. Never think about anything sexual again. Would be
just
great.
Just a thick mane of beautiful
long hair, man.
Looking like Aslan with the tiny dick.
Yeah, just doesn't work.
Well, it does work.
It works for pissing, which is one of its main two jobs.
Just a tiny tap.
Oh, God.
Off and on, just empty out the bladder.
And that's it. Never crosses your mind.
No
again.
Distraction.
Would you replace your penis with a tap?
Yeah.
Would you?
A big, thick one. Pointing up.
No, but like, you know, on those.
A hot tap. It'd have to be a hot one.
Like one of those ones that you can just like get tea out of the sink, you know, like not out of the sink.
Yeah, it's just always boiling.
Yeah, them taps where you can pick hot water.
Unbelievable.
They are. I mean, I was cynical when I first used one. I was in a dressing room in Sydney earlier this year, and they had a really swanky one, and I thought it ain't going to be that hot. And I said I might have
just
a cup
pour
of tea.
In your eyes.
And I said, is it hot enough to have like a tea? And they went, yeah, it's boiling. And I was like, come on, mate. Pressed it, boiling water straight out. No, so, like there wasn't like a 2 minute wait. Is there a tank of boiling water somewhere?
I think there's underneath it. There is just a tank that's continuously always there.
Is that what it is? So it can run out.
Yeah,
but it'll refill after you use it.
It's on the but water
it run
out, mains.
Yeah, but it will run out and then charge again.
I assume so. Yeah, I think it's probably got like maybe like 4 or 5 liters. Who's using more than 4 or 5 liters of fucking
exactly,
water?
Mate. What, you having a bath in the sink?
It's too hot, mate.
Big cup of tea bath.
I think in life, you know, you aim for certain things. This is very deep, I'll know when I've made it. I want this in my life. I want a Ferrari. I want to be able to have like
what do you want,
a private jet. I want one of those taps that just got hot water then a filtered water tap on the other side as well.
I've actually got a then filtered water
tap.
Oh,
fucking hell.
But I don't own my place. It's just in there. But
how rich is your owners then?
Not that rich, but it's just when it was developed, he just had a filter tap.
I want a house where I've got two taps.
I always used to think about one in the old ice fridge.
Yeah, your mate Adam's got that. And do you know what? That's just 600 quid.
Is it?
Yeah.
What about a bidet?
Do you know what? I would like a bidet. But no, I don't like to set. I wouldn't like to have a separate one in the bathroom. What I'd like is them sort of Japanese ones.
Just one in the living room.
But no, the Japanese ones. You've got a bidet and the toilet. You just a thing comes out and then just poosh, right
just
up your arse.
Blows
arsehole.
Up your sweet arsehole.
I've used them.
Mate, when I go to the Middle East, first, one of my favourite things is getting going to Australia, changing in the Middle East, and that getting off a fucking 8 hour trip to like, or 7 hour flight to like Dubai or Abu Dhabi, and then going straight into the toilets and just. You're hot, you're stinking from the
flight. Blowing your arsehole.
And you just fucking shoot a stream of cold water up there.
I went on holiday a few years back with a few mates to Dubai, and we're like, oh, do you know what? We'll splash out. So we stayed at the Five Palm Gym.
Jumeirah, is it?
A nice hotel, and we got a deal, but it's a very nice deal. And we stayed in, like, we all had our own hotel rooms, and for that whole week, we were just getting absolutely bladdered. And then obviously the next day, you feel like death. But we're having like the rainforest showers, which made you feel amazing. But going to the toilet that next morning and basically having your bum pampered.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God, I feel amazing.
It's a real sure
there's water going. You turn the water up really hot.
No, but it was just like, it was really nice.
Oh, it's refreshing.
I almost.
It's a real hangover cure. People don't know about that.
That's the thing.
People think paracetamol, you know, Diet Coke, but just shoot water up your arse.
Just have a hose up your arsehole.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Good as new.
Straight up there, and you're like a new
person.
I've
had a go out of a bidet a couple of times. Yeah. Just thought I'd add to it. Carry on though.
They're nice, aren't they? But I don't like.
That was my bidet story.
My uncle Cliff has got a bidet.
Has he?
Yeah.
He's got it as a gift house. Off your mum.
I think it came with the house.
Oh, really?
Or maybe they put it in.
My uncle and aunt had one when I was a kid, and I had no idea what it was.
I had no idea what it was.
It was mad. My uncle was a publican. Like, he owned a couple of pubs.
Really?
Then it all fell apart and he lost everything, which was quite sad. But for a period, they lived in a really big house next door to Ronnie Corbett.
You moved into one for a little while, didn't you?
Did move into
a pub. Was he a big drinker?
He liked to drink, but he wasn't a big drinker.
He was a little drinker.
He
certainly small.
But he managed to sort of maintain some business acumen. But then when we moved in, my dad, who was a big drinker, did not maintain that sort of business. And he basically ended up getting sacked from the pub for drinking and nicking cigarettes out of the machine. But they lived in a house next to Ronnie Corbett in Shirley in Croydon. Just outside Croydon. Yeah. And yeah, they had a big garden and a bidet.
In the garden?
Yeah. In the middle of the grass.
Or like your water feature, thanks. We'll sit on it.
But I just didn't know what to do with it. I was a kid and I was just fascinated by this extra toilet with a tap. Like, I didn't really know what it was.
But the water doesn't come up.
You can angle the tap to whatever works best for your ass.
Stick it right into your ass.
Just lock on, innit? Just sit on it. Just pop on.
My godfather had one, and we used to go around to his house. He built his house himself in like the 70s. And he had this bidet, and it was imagine, you know, like a you know, those big metal plugs that you see in like the bottom of
sinks.
Yeah, sinks. Yeah. It was like that, but it had like, it came up, so the bidet like came up. So like, ooh, you'd sit on there and then you'd turn it, and it basically, it was like a fountain, small fountain that basically just washed your bum. So it wasn't like a jet wash. It was
so
really weird.
This is, sorry to be revolting, but do you wipe your bum first?
Yes, obviously.
Yeah, so you wipe and then you go sit on there and you wash.
The way I went, yes, obviously. And they just looked, can't, do you?
It's essentially like a sink. It's not got it's not a toilet. You couldn't just drop loads of shit in it.
No,
you're meant to wash the sort of.
You wipe your bum.
Sorry, listeners, if this
and then,
cringes
and then,
you
I guess,
out.
I guess if there's any tissue there as well, you know, depends on how your body is.
What about wet wipes? Anyone use that?
I do. I make sure that I use the now.
Never
I use
without
wet wipes.
Them.
The flushables.
Yeah, 100% flushable.
And but are they? You know, we were talking about sort of.
I just throw them out the window. Are they window compliant?
I just reuse
them. I'm at my car window. The roadside compliant, my one.
The little flannel ones.
But I, because weirdly, this reminded me, I read an article the other day about do you sleep naked, pants, pajamas?
Naked.
Well, see, I always slept naked until my daughter was born.
Yeah.
And because she's in the room with us,
I felt weird about it. She used to cry.
Even though she's a baby and she won't understand.
Aww, it's just me tap.
I just wanted to keep boxers. So now I sleep with boxers on, right?
Yeah.
And I do. It took me a while to get used to because I've been a naked sleeper for a decade. Yeah, and
that's a long sleep, man.
And I read an article
naked in a park for 10 years.
It was called what's this? The phrase is something like fecal splatter or something gross like that. Oh, you know, because you fart a lot in your sleep, but like, and
just
apparently
you.
Every time you fart, a tiny shit particles come out. And right. So, but your pants stop it. So basically, you're doing little shit particles on your sheets overnight if you sleep naked.
But I mean,
I feel like you just shamed me there. You sleep naked. I go, yeah, going, what do you know? What? You're shitting on the bed. I know what, mate.
But particles are everywhere. We can't see them anyway. Like.
I know, but you're still, it's basically saying there's a little tiny bit.
Yeah, but I wash my
your
bed sheets every day.
No, you don't.
Nah, but if I don't.
Hand wash them every. That's your morning routine.
How often do you wash your bed sheets? This is a real
every 2 weeks.
I was chatting about this on WhatsApp yesterday.
I'm once a week.
Depends how messy day I am.
How much recently?
I'm a fortnighter.
Sometimes I've got a burn.
Do you know what? All joking aside, when I
get rid of the DNA.
When I had COVID in July, I was having to wash mine every day because I was waking up and I felt like I pissed the bed because I was sweating.
See, I've got COVID now and.
But you also and also piss the bed every
and
night.
I've just shit my pants.
Shows your tap.
Do you tumble dry your pants and socks?
No.
No.
How come?
Because I hang them out
to
dry.
Yeah, but you don't have to. You could just tumble dry.
No, I don't. Right, so I can't stand tumble dryers.
What about
I can't
towels?
I like towels, yeah, but I can't stand
tumble dry. I'm not just generally.
Oh, no, I hang them out.
Oh, no, I air dry myself.
Me and my girlfriend had this. So there's a couple of segments here. I'll take the. So I don't like tumble dryers, and yeah. I don't like dishwashers. I think
you don't like the way they look.
No, dishwashers.
I think they're bad for the environment. Says a bloke driving a fucking Range Rover. No, I'm just joking. It's a Volvo, but it sounded cool, didn't it?
Is your Volvo hybrid?
It's diesel, 2.2 litre.
Cool. Carry on about this environment preaching.
But previous to that,
as you're in your jet.
Previous to that, I did have two electric vehicles, but it was just...
Two?
Well, one at a time.
Oh, right.
But then,
one on each foot.
On tour, I was like, I just need a car that's going to get me from fucking Darwin to Plymouth on a Friday night.
Yeah, Darwin, right? In Australia?
Yeah. And a Volvo.
Oh, okay.
You happy with that?
Yeah.
So me and my girlfriend have had this, like, she thinks I should tumble dry. I've got a washing machine that's also a tumble dryer.
Yeah.
She thinks I should tumble dry the towels.
They're fluffier.
Yeah, but that's
they
what
do
she
go
said.
With my, but that's actually, what she said. I've got, because we've got a garden, hanging them outside, nice.
Yeah, it gives
air.
Them a nice bit of air.
I don't have a garden.
It? Nor me.
I've got a flat.
Yeah.
On the fourth
but you
floor
had a garden in your previous place in lockdown?
No.
I thought you were saying earlier that you enjoyed lockdown your garden.
No, no.
Is it the opposite to that?
Oh, literally, yeah, opposite. Yeah. Literally,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
I was hearing the
yeah.
opposite yeah, yeah, to what yeah. you were saying.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm a prick.
but what dishwashers, though?
Yeah, no.
That's
I've got one. One came with a house.
I think.
Never used it.
Having.
What's her name?
Lived.
Oh, my God. Use a Julian Dean there.
I've been having had,
Lloyd told me
not had a dishwasher
that.
In the past and now having one for the last sort of 8 years. I just think it's, you know, it depends. Like,
when you've got a baby.
When you've got a family, you need it, man. Yeah. Like, it's, you go
you've got
so
to clean the
stuff.
Baby somehow.
I live on my own.
Oh, that's a really dark
song. Can we get some sad music off?
I thought it was quite funny. I like the way you went, don't say anything. That's really funny. So my girlfriend lives on, she's got her own place. I live in my own place. So we kind of like split between the two. So there's only two of us at any one point, maximum. There's no point to use the dishwasher.
Yeah. And washing up's quite nice, isn't
it? I genuinely like washing up.
Yeah,
it sounds mental. And we've got, it's a small I'll bring little,
my dishes over later.
Yeah, no, feel free to. I'll do them. I mean, like you did with my mum, you dirty prick. round at 1 o'clock, yeah? Is that fine? That's unacceptable, by the way. Turning up at 1 o'clock at a guest house.
It was unacceptable, but I was texting en route.
Whilst driving.
I know. I'm not making this better, am I?
Not her, not texting your mum, just telling me it was late. Just doing some
texting
text.
My mates.
So I was so late. I just started
late.
Texting
I can keep
some of my side tings.
And I got there so late because I was pissed because I was like, I had to stop every 10 minutes because I couldn't see the road. Anyway, so I've got this little dishwasher. And my mate, I was like, I'm going to get rid of it. And then my mate, who.
I'll buy it.
Well, it's like a fitted one. That, oh. Yeah. And then he was like, don't, because he went, no, don't get rid of it, because when you go to sell the house, that'll put the house on the price up. I was like, fuck off.
That's
a dishwasher. 20
grand right there.
Yeah.
It will a little bit, though. It does.
Yeah, but I might
get
rid of it.
Heads.
I might get rid of it and then just put it back in when I go to sell it. But I'm not.
What would you put in the space where you're taking it out?
Dishes.
Dirty dishes. Big pile of dirty dishes.
I'll wait for Julian to come round.
Yeah.
I'll just sit in there.
I do need more space in my kitchen, to be fair.
Okay.
This is quite a rock and roll podcast, isn't it?
Isn't it? It's nice. About, it's like, very...
But I quite like washing my clothes and having a little process. When I'm
what, in a washing machine?
Yeah, in a washing machine.
Oh,
all
right.
Yeah.
You're not washing them.
After
you're
this.
In a river.
Like,
like you're down the Ganges.
I like the
down the Thames.
I've actually got a washboard at home. Yeah,
what would you do with that? Play it?
Well, no, she got... no, like it's... like
a harmonica in your mouth.
It's an ornament. It's just in the front of the house.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it was
sounds
like a,
nice.
Yeah, well, it was a birthday present from my girlfriend.
That's nice.
Yeah. What did she get you? What, she got you as an ornament?
Yeah, and it's got like a little phrase on it. But it's
what's
quite,
the phrase?
It's, do you like sex?
Do you like sex?
Yeah, because we were getting on really well before we'd met.
Until your libido shriveled up.
And I started...
Sorry. That's why you live on your own.
I started taking these hair regain pills.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You've got big hairy nuts that don't do anything. Big hairy dead cock.
I have got no idea where this story. I tried to improvise there, and it just kind of went down a weird little Ganges.
No, what does it say? You don't want to say what the.
It actually says,
brother.
Do you like sex?
It does say.
Yeah, because I was like, we were getting on so well. I was like,
that's a nice
thing. And I was pissed one night, and I was like, everything was going so well. I was like, do you like sex?
She's like,
what the fuck? I was like,
you were in the middle of it at the time.
She was crying.
It's very formal.
And I was like, do you like sex? And she was like, what the fuck is that question? I was like, well, because everything's gone so well, I just want to make sure that you're not like, you know.
And frigid.
Like, yeah, of course. Yeah, everyone likes sex, don't they? I was like, well, not everyone. And then I got my tap out.
Get your tap out.
Turned it on. Hot.
Get your tap out for the
blasted it.
But after this, can I just say I'm going to Sainsbury's down the road.
Oh, yeah.
Nine Elms.
Put
lovely.
A shift in.
Have you been to Sainsbury's? Nine Elms.
I've not been to Nine Elms one. I've been to a Sainsbury's.
No, you need to go to that one down the road.
Why?
Unbelievable.
It's got top. Is it M&S a high end one?
It's unbelievable. It's really good. You go up the escalators and then it's just.
Taste the difference.
It's the best Sainsbury's I've ever been to.
Well, because you know, sometimes it's like. I remember the first time I went to my ex's house. And she lived in Primrose Hill.
When she was your ex?
Yeah.
Before a restraining order.
I broke in, right? But no, there was a Budgeons in Belsize Park.
Oh, yeah.
That is the poshest. I only knew Budgeons from the shitholes I used to live in. I thought Budgeons were shit, like spas.
Yeah.
And then I went to, it turns out they're area dependent.
Yeah.
And the one in Belsize is like the nicest one.
It's got like organic stuff in it.
Everything. There's a massive vegan
bit. There's a really nice Budgeons on Upper Street.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, really nice.
So like that, yeah, but so I didn't know Sainsbury's.
It's weird how Budgeons are quite insulting to areas, aren't they? We'll open one up there.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck it.
Yeah, give them the shit. Well, that's why it turns out they've got high-end ones.
Co-op's like that. It varies in price.
Yeah.
Depends where you are.
Well, get yourself down to that. I'm going to go and get some Vanish.
Stain remover?
But the one that kind of makes your whites a bit more brilliant. I've got a few dull whites on.
You pop it in the washing machine, do you?
Yeah, pop it in the washing machine, but you know what the term
is. You spray it. Spray it in the air.
And then I'm also...
Spray in your eyes.
Makes everything
they
look
just
better.
Look whiter.
Well, your eyes are nice, sparkly. Yeah, it's Vanish.
Yeah, you look really white.
Let's move on into actually talking about something else. Let's talk about you're on tour.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it like it's an actual interview. I was talking about washing.
Last night I was in...
Where have you done? Yeah, where have you done and where have you got? Where have you got left to come? Let's talk through the towns.
I've done Birmingham.
Great. Where did you do?
Glee.
Lovely.
Lovely. Tuesday night, Thursday night. Cambridge Junction.
Lovely.
Oh,
lovely
good
gig, yeah. Friday did Leicester Y Theatre.
Oh, lovely. This is a lovely selection of the venues.
Sunday, Colchester Arts Centre.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful. Then Monday went back to... Oh, the screen's just changed there.
Screen's just gone on standby. We've been talking for that long.
To turn the screen back on, press any button except for the power button.
Oh, there we go. We're back. What happens if you press the power button?
It just goes off. Yeah.
That's what happens to any screen.
The power
screen.
Goes.
Monday night, went back to Birmingham Glee for night two.
Nice.
Tuesday, Swindon Art Centre, which Ooh. I absolutely love.
That is gorgeous. I've been there.
Lovely, lovely little theatre.
That's a nice, yeah, Swindon. That was the only time I've ever been to Swindon. I went once, I did a gig there.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing a tour show. No, I did a tour show. Actually, no, I've been twice. I did a tour show somewhere else. Is there another art centre?
There's two. One's called the Wyvern, and then one's called the Art Centre.
I might have done the Wyvern. Yeah. I did a lovely little old-fashioned...
Yeah.
Was that the Art Centre?
Yeah, the Art Centre.
That's what I did.
It was lovely.
Great.
Absolutely beautiful.
Anyway, I went to a lovely pub around the corner afterwards.
Yeah. So Swindon's got this place called like Swindon Old Town and New Town, but the Old Town is where that is.
That's where... I'd never known... Because Swindon's one of them towns that gets a bit of shit about it.
Of
and you go to that part and it's beautiful.
Slugs from Swindon. but that's a gorgeous little art centre. Then last night I was in Guildford G-Live.
Oh, that's a good venue.
I didn't enjoy it.
How come? The gig,
the lay were lovely, but the venue, it's just like, it's very like Edinburgh. It's just like, I was in the studio space, it's like 120 seats. Like,
yeah.
I didn't enjoy it. And then I'm going all over. Bristol on Saturday.
Where are you in Bristol?
The Improv Arts and Improv Theatre. Bristol Improv Theatre.
Sounds like you're guessing.
It sounds like I'm doing really shit improv there. Bristol Improv Theatre doing an evening show and we've put on a matter.
As opposed to a morning one.
Well, I mean, if we sold the matinee, then I'd put a morning one on. But crucially, we've not sold the matinee. So if you fancy coming to that, that'd be great. And then literally all over. Glasgow, Cardiff, Nottingham.
Glees?
Glees. Nice. Glasgow Glee, Nottingham Glee. Then places like Great Torrington, which I've not been before.
I did a really lovely tour show in Great Torrington once.
Is it The Plough?
I think so, yeah. And it was one of them ones where... I remember it was the last time I did a tour, and it was only a small tour.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did the cities. I know that I'll get a little audience in. For some reason, like, my agents put in Great Torrington, and I was like, are you out of your fucking mind? Like, no one is going to come and see me there. And it was almost sold out.
Yeah.
And I went on at the top, and I went, give me a cheer if you've seen me before, or no, like, listen to the podcast or something. No one. Every single one of them was just a local who goes to everything at the venue.
That's great.
And I was like, in my head then, I was like, this is going to be so hard. They were lovely.
Really?
I did two halves of 45 minutes. Beautiful. On my own, no support.
Oh, wow.
And just ended up just having a lovely time with a bunch of people who had no idea who I was. They just went, oh, we'll just go out and see this joke.
I've been joking about Great Torrington not selling very well and being like, crucially, if anyone lives in North Devon, please come to that show. It's now selling all right. But a lot of people have gone, it's a really nice place. So I'm looking forward to it.
It's a beautiful little village.
Yeah. So we've done Exeter already. And then I'm doing Lyme Regis.
Oh, yeah.
Two nights in Grimsby, two nights in Lincoln.
Where can they see the dates on your website?
Yeah, lloydgriffith.com instead of me just trying to remember every fucking day.
Just trying to nutshell this, do you know what I mean?
Just trying to think if there's anywhere. Colville, Blackpool, York, Brighton.
Blackpool. I went to Blackpool for the first time. Christmas 2019.
Yeah.
Not Christmas.
Gigging.
Oh, January.
Christmas Day.
Yeah, I was gigging. I went to do the Blackpool Comedy Station.
Yeah, that's where I'm doing the show.
It was great fun.
That's a nice
The
room.
Gig was mental. Like, the gig was so mate. Much fun, but like really lively, old
school. On their terms.
I mean, it was like, I felt like it could kick off at any moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they were great fun. Yeah. And the venue's like super cool.
Are you doing London dates?
Soho Leicester
Square
Theatre.
Great Vauxhall Comedy.
No, I'm not doing that. Although I do it every now and then. I do it for Alex on a Monday night, which is a lovely gig. You did it. I think I did it the week after you, actually. The other week. Alexandra Haddo.
Oh, yes.
And then...
Should get her on the podcast. That's a good idea. This is how we book... Somebody names somebody. Oh, yeah, we'll book them.
Ring her
cool,
now,
man.
Live.
Andrew Lawrence. So, on Saturday...
Andrew's been on.
Has he?
Has he been on?
No.
Oh, no, he went on. He came on mine and Chris's before this existed.
Do Leicester Square Theatre on a Sunday night, and then I'm doing a run the following Monday to the Friday at Soho Theatre, so if you fancy it. Loads of tickets left for the Monday at Soho Theatre, weirdly, at 9 o'clock on a Monday. Really? That's a fucking howler of a gig, isn't it? Monday night, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Who wants to come?
You'll sell it out now. You've said it on here.
You reckon? So,
I want to upgrade the room, mate.
TVI listeners, if you let me know that you're coming on a Monday night, I'll give you a VIP experience.
What does that include?
Suck them all off.
Okay, here we go.
Human B day.
I've got me travelling B day. They can come backstage, have a little go on the B day. Look at the tap.
It's just a water pistol.
We should wrap up in a sec. I think we should probably quickly just say we lost some good people this week.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
It's feel weird not like sadly feel, because we mentioned on our last on our Patreon where we talked about Sean Locke sadly dying. It seems like there's a spate of it. Yeah. Bill Gerrard and Lynn Ruth Miller both died in the last week. And Lynn Ruth Miller was old. It's sort of a bit more easy to understand. Yeah. But Phil Gerrard was a shock, man. I really liked Phil.
Yeah.
And he was very funny. And like, I spent some really good weekends with him. You know, like, God. That's a thing.
He was
like,
such a lovely guy.
So lovely.
He?
And he was really, like, he was very uncomedy-ish. You know what I mean? Like, sort of, I remember we did weekends where we'd sort of just do the gig, get out of there, go back to the hotel bar and sit up. So all hours just drinking.
He liked to drink, didn't he?
He loved to drink. And he loved just a moan makes it sound like a bad thing, but I mean, we just sit there and just sort of laugh about
his
the world.
Moans were so funny.
Oh man, he's like, and that's what his whole stage presence and sort of persona was.
Of that.
He took like moaning to almost like the most extreme version of itself. It was great.
But there's a lot of knobheads in comedy, and he was the opposite of that. He was the opposite of that. Just like the nicest man.
He was so nice.
Ever.
Unassuming, gentle. Like, he was just a really...
Which...
It was really sad.
Made it sadder. You know what I mean, the fact that... And, you know, the stories you hear this week of him just not wanting to have a song and dance about his illness and people not talking about it because he didn't want the room to get sad and stuff. You know, it's just the measure of
it. Well, because I knew... Obviously, he was ill a few years ago and there was a GoFundMe to get him some and he couldn't work, and that was great. But then, yeah, he just, there was no sort of tour. And then I basically, about 3 weeks ago, bumped into Angela Barnes.
Yeah.
And she told me that he was essentially terminal, but they didn't know how long he had. And I just messaged him. We had a nice little message back, and we had a little chat. And
how
I had
much
no
did
idea
you donate
it was that.
To the GoFundMe, Lloyd?
Did you say again?
How much did you donate to the GoFundMe?
I'll have a look, but I did, yeah.
How much did you donate?
I mean, I'm a lot.
There we go. But yeah, so it was very sad, is what we're saying. Yeah.
It's a cliche, isn't it? But he was such a lovely guy.
It was so sad. It hit me. Like, it genuinely caught me off guard when I heard. Like, I'm very philosophical about death. Yeah. You know, like when Sean Locke died, I thought, oh, that's sad. Even I didn't really know him that well. I'd met him maybe 4 or 5 times. I thought he was really nice. We always got on.
Yeah.
But I sort of like, I was like, that is sad. But I didn't like, you know, I think I was like, it's, you know, I didn't know him well enough to feel like the guts ripped out. But like, about a day, I was really sort of like, all right, this has done me in for this day. Even though we weren't close, we just sort of knew each other.
It's, you know, your work colleagues, though. Yeah. It's like, spent a lot of time together. With Sean, Sean was one of my idols. I mean, I remember Sean was the first person that I saw do comedy live.
He was so good as well. Even if you'd met him a few times.
Yeah.
I always, like when he died, I felt like, a brilliant, famous person has died. So I think there's a slight detachment almost to it.
Absolutely. And then when I saw the news about Phil, I didn't know that he was terminally ill. And so it kind of hit, it took a lot of time for me to process that. And then, obviously, you know, he had a lot of close friends in comedy. And and again, like in the way that, you know, there was an outpouring of grief for Sean, you know, the outpouring of grief within our circuit, of just how much he meant to so many people. So,
and you forget, it is like a sort of, you know, it is quite, them moments make you realise it's quite a nice, not tightly knit, but like everyone does, you know, respect each other. And it is quite, sometimes it feels a bit like everyone's just off on their own, but their moments make you go, it is a thing that we are in together.
We are off on our own, and there's no HR department, do you know what I mean? So like...
Julian's happy about that, mate.
He pulled in every day.
Get a written warning every other day.
You would not have had a job for the last 7 years, mate. No offence. And that's not even to do with your comedy. It's one where you are on your own. Do you know what I mean? You are on your own. And you do look forward to looking at that team sheet for the weekend and going, who am I on with? And, you know, Phil would be someone, you know, all joking aside, like Phil would be someone that I'd be like, that's great. You're one of them that are not, like, because you make me piss myself off stage. I mean, not on stage, off stage. Okay. I'm like, I don't watch you on stage. I mean, I get upset about it.
Yeah. You want comedy, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, Julian's going to go and do his...
Here for a TED talk, you know what I mean?
Going to go and do his B-Day chat in a minute.
A TED talk on bad comedy.
PowerPoint.
Doing it in character.
In a way, he has nailed that.
That's my niche.
But you know, like if I saw your name, I'd be like, fucking, you know, great, have a lovely weekend.
Like Julian's with him, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So you shut the fuck up, eh? And so you do, you are like, you look forward to those weekends because you are on your own. And I think when like the GoFundMe was a perfect example of how much people mean to each other on the comedy show. If anyone's in need, do you know what I mean? Then you're ready together. Yeah, it did. Like when Mick Ferry's had a bit of a situation, his parents had passed and stuff, people rallied round together. And
try and get in the will.
Phil wouldn't have wanted any of this like commotion or anything like that, but we were like, we're gonna get together and stuff. So, you know, we are a close knit group of people,
people
and Julian.
I'm just on the outside.
No one will.
Just
no one
in it. Trying to get
I'm
in.
I'm like, Rock, I didn't know you lot were meeting. Oh, I mustn't have my phone. It's the reception.
I'm looking forward to Julian's GoFundMe page. Like, how many people would donate?
How much
do
we have to give to make him stop comedy?
Just to throw him in the sea off a boat, off a kayak.
Anyway, so there we go. It'd be nice. Basically, it was a sad week for comedy, you know, that it showed the community. We should wrap it up on that note, I think.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thanks for coming, being our first guest in the studio.
Oh, it's so nice.
It's warm in here, isn't it?
It's got really fucking up.
Let's pop that door in a sec.
Look how shiny I look on that. Look at that.
You have had a hat on the whole time as well.
Because I'm balding.
I know, but it's fine.
I was wearing my helmet because I've got a motorbike.
There we go.
A hog. I got a, you know, the Triumph Bonneville. I've got a little Sim Fiddle 3 anyway. Little 125cc moped.
Right, that was episode 126 with Lloyd Griffiths. Very funny man, isn't he?
He's a good egg, isn't he?
He's a good guy. So thanks.
I've always liked Lloyd, mate.
I've always liked him. We should have got him in sooner.
I know.
Wouldn't have had that awkward chat. But anyway, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you're watching and you want to subscribe to the podcast on Apple and Spotify, all that business. Patreon, you can sign up to Patreon.
Patreon.com/WeAreTVI. That's how we do it, people.
Cheers. We hadn't planned that, as you can tell. And there's extra little videos, catch-ups, you know. It's
Patron
fun.
Exclusives once a week.
Yeah, man. So that is that. Thank you. Bye.
You're actually changing the podcast.
I think you're going to die of AIDS in an alleyway.